"Teacher, speak," he said. "A certain lender had two debtors. One owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work. The other owed enough money for 50. When they couldn't pay, the lender forgave the debts of them both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your home, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured perfumed oil on my feet. This is why I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, so she has shown great love. The one who is forgiven little loves little." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So now when I came up with this question to ask, I knew the reaction of a couple of you. How many of you all are fond of being in the front facing everybody else? See, I knew yours would be the biggest in the room. My dad would join you just as vehemently if he were here. Anybody just really fond of being in the front? Just really like? No? You know, out of three churches, only one person has raised their hand, and I think he did it kind of as a joke. Nobody's fond of getting in front. Why are we not fond of being in front? Because we're Methodists. Well, that could be. We do tend to sit in the back of the room. Yep. Classes is always hard because the back fills up, and those of us who get there late have to sit in the front. Being judged, exactly, my hair. I just suddenly kind of went, you know what? I didn't even see if the wind blew me up on the way in the door. You know what I mean? We worry about whether or not we're going to sing off key if we're singing. We worry if we're going to read something the right way, if it's pre-written for us, and if we're coming up with the words on our own, well, that's even worse. If I said we weren't going to have a sermon today, we were going to rely on personal testimonies, how many people would run up here to be the one? It's very hard to be vulnerable and open, isn't it? To share our deepest things, or even not deepest things, with other people. We don't really want people to see those things. We worry about them judging us, about losing friends, respect. Well, there were three people in the front of the room, so to speak, in the scripture today. Simon the Pharisee, the guy who invited Jesus into his home. And the Pharisees, as I've said, they were the ones who were keeping an eye on what was going on in the community to see if people were on the up and up. And we're going to find that some people think that Simon the Pharisee may have invited the woman to come into his house, even though the scripture doesn't say that, because we know and the way that it is worded, it says something about if Jesus had known who was touching him, he would have sent her away. He was testing Jesus to see, are you a prophet? Are you for real? And so there are those who think maybe he invited her just to see what Jesus would do. So Jesus was in the front of the room too, wasn't he? Because he was being tested. And also the woman whose name we don't know was the one in the front of the room being tested. Well, you've probably heard this passage before, and some of us have probably heard it a lot of times. But I came across someone else's story this week that they had written in a little bit more modern language. And you know, this worked extra well. If we would have had breakfast in the basement, it would work extra well here today. They had lasagna cooking in the basement at Ridge Hill, and you know what the sanctuary smelled like. So it was a little extra relatable there today. But this story is called The Guest Speaker. It is written by Danny Nettleton. The church I grew up in was known for its famous fried chicken dinners. Wouldn't fried chicken smell good right about now? Okay, those of you who have breakfast might not be as hungry, and I'm just thinking, it sounds good. Whenever we had a fried chicken dinner, it was announced on the radio and in the paper, and we would have an extra big crowd that morning at church. Our pastor especially liked to host these dinners when there was a guest speaker. So one Sunday, when I was about 8 years old, we had the guest speaker. I don't remember his name or where he was from. I just remember that we were going to have chicken after dinner or after church, and the sanctuary was full. I also remember that the guest speaker was really nice. During the children's time, he had all the kids come up, and he told us a really funny story. At the end of children's time, little three-year-old Emily got up, crawled into the guest speaker's lap. She was wearing a long pink necklace made of plastic beads, and she took them off and held them up and said, "I love you, Peacher," and then put the necklace on the guest speaker's neck. He looked at the little girl and smiled and said, "Thank you, Emily. You're very special. God loves you." All of the adults, what would we do? Aww. Whispered to each other, "Isn't that precious?" Well, I don't really remember the sermon that day. I think the preacher talked about God's love and forgiveness. And to tell you the truth, I was having a hard time focusing with the smell of the fried chicken coming up the stairs. What I remember was what happened downstairs. I was sitting at the kids' table with a chicken leg, a roll, think Sue's rolls, right? And a big heaping pile of banana pudding. For Peter, that would have to be that Oreo pudding. He loves that one, the whole plate full. I noticed the guest speaker was standing kind of at the back of the line, which was really weird now that I think about it. Our regular pastor usually invited the guest speakers to pray over the meal and then insisted that they would bring their family and go first through the line and then go sit with him at his table. Well, he must have forgot to do it that day. Anyway, back at the end of the line, right behind the guest speaker, was Linda Jones. Everybody knew Linda Jones. She lived in really ratty squalor without electricity. She was super thin, never wore appropriate clothes, and always smelled funny. The older boys teased each other, saying, "Linda Jones dates your dad." It wasn't true, but it kind of gives you an idea of her reputation. Linda Jones tended to show up at whatever church was having a meal that day. She came up during the altar calls, but only if there was a chicken dinner afterwards. One time, she came to the potluck and some of our expensive equipment went missing, which was later found in the pawn shop. Several of the ladies knew that some things had been stolen from their purses, too. Now, the church had tried to help her many times, but she always wound up in the same position where she started. And the pastor said, "Well, there's only so much you can do for people who won't help themselves." So anyway, Linda was just behind the guest speaker in line, and from what I could tell, they were talking. And then all of a sudden, she turned around and left the room. Now, I remember everybody was kind of relieved because Linda was always welcome, but nobody knew what to do with her. She was tended to make a scene wherever she went. So I watched. The guest speaker went and got their plate, turned and looked for a place to sit. Well, they usually sat with the pastor and his family, but that table was already full. So I remember what happened next. I saw it. The pastor walked all the way through the room and ended up sitting right next to the kids' table, which meant I had a good view of what happened next. About 10 minutes after the guest speaker sat down, Linda Jones came back. This time she was carrying a little pink box. She marched right up to the guest speaker, and to everyone's shock, she pulled out his chair and proceeded to sit in his lap. Suddenly the room got very quiet. Everyone was uncomfortable and embarrassed. Linda Jones didn't look around. She didn't seem to care about all the people who were covering their mouths. As she sat in the speaker's lap, she opened up that pink box. When she opened it, I could hear the faint tinkling of music, and there was a tiny little ballerina that turned in front of a mirror. Linda began to cry. When the song finished playing, she reached inside the box and pulled out a beautiful golden necklace. It had a sapphire on the locket in the shape of a heart. Even as a kid, I knew it looked very expensive and precious. In fact, it was probably her most prized possession and the one and only thing she hadn't pawned. Still sitting in his lap, she wrapped her arms around the guest speaker's neck and nearly cheek to cheek with him, fastened the clasp. Through her tears, she whispered to him, "I love you, Preacher." Well, people were whispering again, watching very intently and thinking, what's he going to say to her? But he looked at her and smiled, and then warmly he replied, "Thank you, Linda. You're very special, and God loves you." Now everyone turned and looked at the pastor. He was sitting in his usual spot, and boy, his face was red and his expression was stern. He was not pleased with what he'd seen. I mean, can you blame him? Even as a kid, I knew the whole thing was very inappropriate. The pastor was just getting ready to say something when the guest speaker beat him to it. He turns and he says, "Pastor, I have a question for you." "Go ahead, brother." "Pastor, imagine two people owe you money. One of them only owes you $500, but the other one owes you $50,000. Neither of them can pay you back, but because you're a good Christian, you decide to forgive both debts. Who's going to appreciate you more?" The pastor replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt." The guest speaker smiled at the pastor and said, "Exactly. Look at this exemplary woman. I am your guest, and you didn't invite me to sit at your table. And she's been treating me with honor. You didn't introduce me or ask me to pray over the meal. She told me she loves me. You didn't give me first pick at the fried chicken. She gave me her most valuable possession. Pastor, this is the gospel truth. Her sins have been forgiven because she asked God for grace. And you can tell how greatly she appreciates it by the love that she shows. You can see the relief on her face and see how healed her heart is. But those who have been forgiven little or just think they don't have a lot to be forgiven for, maybe for whatever reason haven't even asked for the grace, they only love people a little." The guest speaker then looked at Linda and said, "You are forgiven. Go in peace." Smiling with tears of joy, Linda Jones left the church that day, and no one in town ever saw her again. Not sure what became of her, but I hope she turned around her life. No one ever saw the guest speaker again, come to think of it. Occasionally, though, I think of them both. As I drift off to sleep, I can still hear the faint tinkling of that little music box. I see Linda sitting there, tenderly putting that locket around the speaker's neck, and I wonder, why did she do that? What did he say to her in the back of the line to help her understand that maybe the rest of us don't know? So to this day, I am in awe of the speaker's compassion. And anyway, who was he? Where was he from? And why did I ever see him again? As I told the story, how did you feel about the 3-year-old Emily? She sounds cute, right? We can imagine her up front here and innocent and sweet. We'd probably go on afterwards and say, "That was such a nice thing you did. Such a sweetie." But then how did you feel about Linda? Were there faces that you could see? People you could imagine? Personalities that seemed to fit? So then when I said she pulled out the speaker's chair and sat on his lap, did you cringe inside a little? Imagining a grown woman, so off-putting, putting herself in the lap of someone she didn't really know. Did you think to yourself, if you'd have been the speaker, you would have turned the other way, blocked her, pushed her off, thinking maybe somebody else in the room should have stopped her? Can we imagine saying that was such a sweet thing you did for the speaker? Probably not. I mean, I know it was a different situation because as adults, we do know better than to do some of these things. United Methodist Church has whole conferences on it. Pastors, don't do that. Don't allow other people to do that. We know about boundaries. But the author of the story chose to have Linda sit in the man's lap because it's so scandalous in our time. But in Jesus' time, in the book of Luke, the unnamed woman's actions were just as scandalous. We think, well, she just touched Jesus' feet. In fact, the way that Jesus was reclining at the table, you see that she came behind him, and we think she came behind him to wash his feet. But he was sitting on the floor with his feet extended behind him, so she'd have been behind everyone at the table. And that doesn't seem so scandalous maybe to us today. But in the moment, it was just as scandalous as imagining this woman coming in and plopping herself in the lap of a full-grown man. See, we don't really know what the woman in the Bible was guilty of. She's a sinful woman, and for thousands of years now, we've all assumed what she was guilty of. We assign many things to her, but we don't even know what she did. We have a tendency to see degrees or levels of sinful behavior. Another pastor happened to ask this week, just reading the scripture without any assumptions, what sorts of things could the woman have been guilty of that would have been so bad? Well, one woman said, well, you know, there were a lot of people in the community who were midwives. She could have just been guilty of having touched blood from delivering a child. But even just what we read, walking into a room full of men would have been a no-no. Having her hair down would have been sinful behavior in their culture. Touching someone who was not your husband would have been sinful and could have very well led to the assumptions that have been placed on her for thousands of years. She could have been guilty of some big things, or she could have just been guilty in the eyes of the people who were watching her. Either way, her heart was repentant before she walked in the room. You know, I had somebody come up to me at Rich Hill today after, and he said, I think Jesus forgave that woman long before she ever reached that room. Which is probably true, why she came in the door with perfume, right? We see Simon, who was the host, and he didn't do anything wrong. He invited Jesus in, perhaps, possibly, was devious in inviting the woman in. And we think, well, those are socially acceptable deviations. But the woman must have been guilty of really bad things. But Jesus does not see a difference in what had been done. He only saw how people accepted his grace and then how they responded to what they were given. And what he knew was Simon wasn't treating him with the same love and respect. He wasn't a bad guy, but he wasn't showing the same honor that the woman did. Now, I know also in the scripture there wasn't someone who reminded us of Emily, but she's still pertinent to our thoughts today, because it's hard for us to see someone that we think is so offensive and see the beauty that we see in a little child. But when Jesus saw either, they would look exactly the same to him. In the story that I read to you, Emily and Linda look exactly alike to Jesus. We all look like Emily, and so does everyone outside. Jesus sees the pure of heart. And so I pose for you a question today about who do we want to be like? Simon played it safe. He did what was culturally and socially acceptable. He was doing things for the right reason, but he stayed kind of in the background and in the shadows. His prayers were probably safe, scripted, but the woman lived scandalous in her love for Jesus. She didn't care about the judgment of the people watching her, noticed that they weren't in favor of what she did. She just came into the room and threw herself at the feet of Jesus. Would we rather be Simon, or would we rather be the Linda Jones? Jesus has already seen every single thing. When we worry about being judged by others, Jesus doesn't look at us like that. He doesn't see that there's past things, only what's present and future. And if in our present, we come desperate for his grace, and he doesn't see any of the past. He doesn't reject us and welcomes us with an open heart and open arms. So perhaps you hold back from truly encountering Jesus, afraid of what other people might think. Perhaps you keep quiet when you could lift a testimony or keep your prayers safe and your heart guarded. But the good news is Jesus isn't looking for people who are perfect or even close to it. He's looking for people who will fall to his feet, accepting his grace. So today, the question is, would you like to be in the shadows like Simon, or step out like the woman? Either way, Jesus is waiting for you to decide. Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we thank you that when you look at us, you see the beautiful child that you created. Lord, sometimes we can make a mess of things, and yet you see the beautiful child. Thank you for always seeing the beauty in us when we can't see it ourselves. Lord, propel us to see the beauty in others the same way that you see it. Help us to understand that each and every one is precious. Each and every one you actually desire to wrap their arms around your neck. And you tell them that they are special and God loves them. God, thank you for loving us. Help us to be just like you. We love you and we pray to you. Amen.